This is I Should Be Writing number 520. I am having a awkward day. Had an awkward day yesterday. It's just awkwardness all over. I almost prefer like existential dread than awkwardness. So yeah, I have, when I got my website redesigned, I had the sign up for the Merverse newsletter. But because I have Patreon and a podcast and a Twitter, I would say and a blog, but I really don't update the blog like with personal writing myself very much. I felt that adding one more line of communication would be redundant. But I wanted to resurrect it, and people keep signing up for it, so I figure somebody wants to hear from me. And I also got invited to be an affiliate for a writing package, writer's package of information that's going on sale this week. And so I made a post with all of that, with the not only the affiliate link, but also here's where I am on Twitch, and here's my schedule on Twitch, and here's what I've been up to since I haven't updated the mailing list in a while. And I got a little over 1% people responded that it was spam, and MailChimp suspended my account. Now, if they don't want to get the affiliate link to the thing I'm advertising, that's fine. I get it. But what really makes me angry is my mailing list is 100% opt-in. 100%. I do not add anybody. If anybody buys from me via, like, PayPal, or they buy from me in another way, I can get their email address. Is there a way? Anyway, I can't remember. If there's any way I get a audience member's or a reader's email address, I do not then feed it into my mailing list. Because people have done that to me, and I hate it so much. And so, the fact that my mailing list is 100% opt-in, and few people, but apparently 1% is enough to flag MailChimp, decided that instead of unsubscribe, they were going to hit spam. So, that was how my day started, trying to figure out what I was going to do there. And then I rage quit. I did. I went through and, hey, Tom, good to see you. Devo Spice, the artist who did the music before the podcast, is here. So yeah, I deleted my MailChimp account because it's one of those things where I hadn't used it for over a year, maybe. And then I used it, and then I got burned. So maybe I'm right. Maybe I don't need a mailing list. Maybe I'll decide when I've had a better day. But yeah, I rage quit. I did. This is why I was playing the song Not Amused before the podcast. And I told Devo Spice about it because I'm having that kind of day. So what's funny is I hesitate to talk about this because it's, rage quitting is valid in that mode. Thank you, Sybil Rose, and good to see you. I hope everybody in the chat's doing okay. I hope those of you on the West Coast are staying safe and able to breathe, and your houses and loved ones' houses are still standing. Yeah, my thoughts are with you guys and the fires and everything. Oh, and Louisiana, Sally. It's hitting Louisiana, I think, right now, and then it's coming up. It's going to be coming up towards North Carolina shortly. So yeah, lots of exciting weather. But this is not something I like to admit. But since I don't have a topic, and I think it's relevant, I'm going to talk about it. And that is, I am somebody who needs permission. I'm not proud. And I know I tell other people, you don't need permission to do most of what you do, most of what you want to do. But I do, and it drives me crazy. Excuse me, that's an ableist word. It makes me very angry. The fact, I have an idea of something to do on Twitch, and I ran it past a friend who I would like to collaborate with, but I also asked him if he thought it was a good idea. When I started podcasting, I thought I would you know, this is back in 05 when I thought about podcasting my fiction. And I thought, well, that's dangerous because that's taking away the first North American English rights, at least audio. I mean, once you put your stuff out there, it's published. And that affects how editors look at you if they look at that piece. They don't judge you, but they judge. It's like, if they look at that, think, I can't buy that. It's already published. Or I'm going to offer less for it. Whatever. I came up with a whole bunch of things. But then I saw T. Morris and Scott Sigler and J.C. Hutchins doing great. Christiana Ellis, they went there first. And I didn't ask permission, but I waited for them to go there first. And Ditch Diggers, I like to call Howard Taylor and Gail Carriger the godparents of Ditch Diggers because I talked it over with them. But another thing I did was ask them if they thought it was a good idea before I approached Matt to be my co-host. And I'm hitting a point in my age where I wonder when you say that something is bad and should be fixed, and when you say, this is how I am. For example, if you are an introvert and people keep pushing you to be an extrovert, and you haven't read about what introverts and extroverts are, and you've been told that you need to put yourself out there and talk to people and mingle and all that, you know, if you found out that you were just fine and it's okay to relate to people the way you need to relate to people, that is accepting who you are and moving on with it. I don't want to describe myself as a follower. I don't want to describe myself as someone who needs permission. But I'm trying to figure out if I should accept it because agonizing about it is a hurdle I won't have to go through again. But saying that about myself is awful. I hate the way that sounds. So I'm really not feeling in a good mood right now. And you know, I am in a little bit of a hurry with all of my new projects. When I'm in a good mood, I say Twitch has made me humble because I have nowhere. I mean, I think exponential is too small a word to describe my Twitch audience versus my podcast audience. I mean, they're not even numbers that can be compared. And so it's making me, you know, I'm having to hustle. I'm having to work hard to try to improve this thing and get this damn chroma key working. Todd says, is it seeking permission or trying to confirm a good idea? Possibly. I am just having a low period right now because I had a bad day yesterday and bad day today. So I'm kind of, it's possible I am looking at it through a completely negative lens and I just like hearing that an idea is good, but people have called me a pioneer because I was at the beginning of podcasting, but in my eyes, I was still watching people do it before I decided to do it. And I think the idea I have is interesting. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to seek validation. I've talked to somebody about the collaboration part, but I would really like to do this without permission. Tom, I tend to do the same thing and really don't see it as a bad thing. Running an idea by another person can give surface things you may have missed or not considered. Hey, Cro-Mag. I feel that my self-confidence puts the permission door in my way. Self-confidence puts the permission door... Can you explain that? Because I'm not sure I understand. It's a door, so it opens. But yeah, if you could elaborate on that, Cro-Mag, I'd appreciate it. But anyway, I'm looking at streamers that I admire and respect, and I kind of want to ask them what they think. But I kind of also want to say, I've been doing this. I have a lot of experience doing this content, and I, or rather, internet content. I don't need the permission. I don't need. One thing that's awesome about creating things these days is you can throw something out there and it'll fly or it won't, and then you can try something else. It's like, I'm not going to be putting my savings into this. I'm not even going to be putting weeks and weeks and weeks of work into it. I'm just wondering why I can't just try something. Just try it. I don't feel that I earned the right to open the door. I see. So I ask. That's what Cro-Mag's saying. Self-confidence. So you mean the lack of self-confidence puts the permission door in your way, I think. I am murdering everybody's names today. I'm sorry. Tilly, you're Breezy? I'm just going to call you Breezy if that's all right. But validation is the door key, maybe. Yeah, validation and permission are kind of the same thing. Hey, Whirling Nerdish. And I'm encouraging people to bring questions or branch off. Because I don't want to whine the whole time, but I'm just... I tell people... Another thing that's awesome about the internet right now is you don't need an agent's permission. You don't need an editor's permission to put your work out there. And that's a wonderful thing. But I'm feeling kind of like a hypocrite because I'm feeling like I need a permission to try some. I need permission to try something new. Oh, thank you for the follow. 100% okay to call you Breezy. Awesome. Thank you. I'm very self-conscious of this ever since the Hugo Awards, and Martin just didn't care. He mispronounced some pretty impressive pronounceable words. So it was my defense is this is like popping up in chat, and I haven't had the opportunity to be briefed beforehand on pronunciation. So that is what I'm struggling with right now. I really want to... I've talked about... I'm doing too many streams these days because I can't remember on what stream I've talked about something, but my current book is based on a trope that's often done in television, which is the person who around whom murders happen. And I like Miss Fisher, Murder, She Wrote, Father Brown. And I hang a lantern on that and try to say, if that really happened to somebody in the science fiction world, what would happen? And I realize that I'm got another trope, another ridiculous trope that I want to play with. But I've been asking permission for it because it's romance. It's not even science fiction at all. Yeah, the dudes that get dumped in the Hallmark Christmas movies, they're usually city boys, sleek, wealthy, neglectful. Usually neglectful, because they don't really put a huge bit of like abuse or physical or mental. They don't like It's Hallmark. They're not going to do that. So it's usually that the relationship is neglectful or not honoring what the woman wants in the relationship. And so she goes back home. She meets the lumberjack up the road who she probably had a crush on when she was a kid. Maybe. Maybe not. He looks real good in plaid. Everybody in town is perfectly nice. And then they get together. And I'm thinking, by now, after all these Hallmark movies, the city's going to be full of those high-powered men who've been dumped. And I wanted to write something on that. And I found myself asking permission for that because it's something I've never written before, which is romance. So, yeah. I don't know why I need... Well, I mean, I don't have a lot of self-confidence. That's why I need the validation. It's obvious why I need the validation. But having a grumpy day, and I feel like I need to admit to y'all that I am a bit of a hypocrite when it comes to this bit of advice, because I find it difficult. I really want to read that story now, Myrrh. Silver Rose, I really want to write it. Actually, in that case, it's I do want, not permission, but I want to get a sensitivity reader before I put it out. But yeah, just right now I'm trying to, when I have days like this, I wish I had someone to tell me, don't worry, little camper, you can do it. Because it's one thing to say the words and encourage somebody else, but then it's really easy for me to go, well, I've had a tough day, so I'm just going to sit down and feel low instead of maybe work on, at the very least, buying a rom-com off of Amazon or Audible or the bookstore I'm going to today, actually. I'm going to a bookstore, y'all! Bookstore! Sorry. One of my agent siblings has their book out today. I'm very excited about it. And I should promote it, except I can't remember the name of it because I'm a terrible, terrible friend. Talk amongst yourselves. Bookstore excitement, yes. Does Sweet Home Alabama subvert that? Is like her city boy neglectful? I haven't seen Sweet Home Alabama. Is that the one with Reese Witherspoon? I don't think I've seen that one. Usually it's a Christmas movie. I don't know if I said that. I don't think I did. It's the Hallmark Christmas movie that has that trope most often. I actually, for some reason, I have to have the element of Christmas in there because I love those stories, while just general romance, not really my cup of tea. If it's rom-com and funny, then yes. But I'm not into just regular romance. Let's see if Google can, haha, yes. I do not know how to spell Marika's last name, but Google figured it out. Thank you, Google. Their new book is Even If We Break. It's a cabin, secrets, endless secrets, one very deadly game of teenagers. And that's all my jam. So very excited for that. I wanted to throw in a plug for them because an amazing writer and my agent sibling. Yes, that was the movie that had Reese Witherspoon in it. Did not ever think her name was a tongue twister, but I guess it is for me today. For me today, it is. So yeah, I'm not doing the permission so much as want to make sure I have somebody to read it to make sure I hit all the points correctly. But I appreciate what you guys have said in the chat about maybe it's taking a good idea and fleshing it out. I guess the difference has to do with my self-confidence because it really, that's why I use the word permission, because it really feels like internally I'm not going, is this a good idea? I'm kind of going, can I do this? Should I do this? I don't know. And having somebody else say, yeah, that's a good idea. It's a validation creatively, sure, but I feel great relief. And It feels like I've been given permission. So I'm probably thinking too much about this because I really want everybody. There's so many things that you can do right now. I mean, I'm overwhelmed by all the opportunities we have right now, considering that there's so many free opportunities online to create things. There are free programs that you can use to write interactive fiction. Creating a podcast is pretty close to free. It may cost a little bit, but depending on what you do and how big you expect your audience to be, but it's pretty close to free. And just if you conceive of something, you can probably do it. And you probably don't need permission to do so. Everything I'm saying goes with the caveat of, I'm not talking about copyright violation. I'm not talking about legal violation or anything that would require consent. I'm just saying that as a caveat. I know you guys probably know that, but when podcasting, when I really started to experiment with podcasting, this is my old lady waves her cane at the clouds moment, where podcasting is a method of distribution. It is using an RSS feed to deliver a file. The fact that 99.9% of the files are audio means today that podcasts are audio. But podcasts are video if you can subscribe to it. And so are text files. And I put out one of my books via PDF, via a PDF podcast back in 6 or 7, I think. 06, 07. And it didn't catch on, but that was a wow, this tool can do this thing and no one's doing it. And now I found out why people weren't doing it, but I've been encouraging you guys to, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling in the mud with everything that's going on right now, and you're not, and by that I mean you're not actively dealing with something that is threatening our world right now. You're not actively involved in the protests or actively involved with the fires or sick. I'm running out of bad things or in the line of a hurricane, whatever. But if you're just like me going, I don't know what to do about the world, it's terrible. I've been encouraging you to try something new. Because no one cares. Last night, I texted my agent. I wouldn't call it porn because there's actually, I did a fade to black thing, but I was noticing when the Jockey catalog came, there's like a picture of a guy either taking on or putting off a jacket. And then later on, he's just wearing clothes, Jockey clothes. And then later on, he's wearing Jockey pajamas. And then later on, he's wearing Jockey briefs. And I'm like, I'm reading a picture book about a porno here. And so I texted my agent all these pictures and gave her dialogue to go with it. And that was fun. Because those are copyrighted images, I'm not sure I could put that online. But I'm just giving examples that I know I'm feeling better overall. My mood today is like today. It's not a depression over me. But it feels fun to just try different stuff. It's, yeah. Oh, Sybil Rose says, I feel like this is one of those glass half full moments. If the glass was empty beforehand and liquid added, it's half full. But if it was full before and liquid is removed, it's now half empty. Yes, that is my argument about the whole glass half full and glass half empty. Which way is the water going? If the idea is you're bouncing off someone else you wouldn't follow through with the validation, it could be seeking permission. But if you would do the thing, no matter what, it's just looking for support. Okay, I can buy that. I like that. But I've been trying to say to everybody that the fact that you're feeling stuck in the mud, try something new. And now it's my turn on the diving board and I feel like I'm pausing. I've used a diving board as a metaphor for 2 days in a row. I don't know what that means. Oh, I'm getting weird. Does anybody have anything writing specific that they want to talk about? I am curious. I'm going to start asking y'all questions. I am curious, Devo Spice, how the people in the FUMP are dealing with the creative malaise that at least I've been feeling, and I know a lot of science fiction writers have been feeling. It means you want to go swimming. I'm actually not a big swimmer. I can swim. It's just not a huge swimmer. I don't know what it is. But yeah, if tell us how the musicians are handling all this, Devo Spice, because Devo Spice is one of the creators, runners, grand poobahs of the Funny Music Project, which kind of took the Dr. Demento concept and moved it to the internet. So if you enjoy funny music, then check out the Fump, because they're putting out music all the time. Devo Spice, Warm Quartet, Carrie Dalby, Luke Ski, Ookla the Mock, Carla Ulbrich. I love her. Devo Spice says, it varies. Some are being incredibly productive, and I know at least one has shut down completely. That's rough. That's very rough. Yeah, I guess we're all doing that, too. I was looking up Ben Winters on Audible because I realized I hadn't finished his The Last Policeman trilogy. And I was shocked on Audible to see that he has already released 3 quarantine stories. He like bundled them together and self-published them on Audible. I think he self-published them. Or maybe he sold them to Audible. I don't know. That's not the point. But it's like I have been looking at this spring as trying to find the ability to just get moving and finish my damn book. And he's, like, coming up with new stuff, 3 separate stories, and writing them and publishing them. They're already done. Quarantine stories. They're already up. It baffles me. And so I think he's on that super productive route. I don't know him. I might like to have him on the show because it's possible that he thinks he's sitting around in his pajamas crying every day and managed to write those 3 things in between the tears, but doesn't feel productive. Because I know a lot of times people see other people and think they're productive, but they don't feel that way. Because I do so many freelance things, a lot of people say that I'm fabulously productive, and I'm like, I will focus on podcasting while everything else gets moldy, and then I'll dust something off and I'll ignore podcasting while I work on a book. I mean, it looks productive, I don't know, from the outside, but if you look at like podcast production mostly, because that's the easiest thing to track, you will see the discrepancies in the inability to achieve consistency. That's one reason I'm loving doing Twitch, because it's forcing me. I can't, you know, I'm promising you guys that I'll be here 12:30 on Tuesdays. And if I can't follow through with that, I'm going to lose the audience. It's not like podcasting where you can download it and listen to it anytime. However, for our podcast listeners, because I do release this later in podcast, you still get the content. So, but in trying to build a Twitch following, I'm trying to be very aware of the fact that consistency of day and time is important. But before this, I was all over the place with consistency. So what people see as productive may not happen. We got Carla Ulbrich and Steve Goody seem to be handling it well. They're streaming regularly online. Okay, Cunning loves the shirt. Thank you. I love my NASA shirt. Give me space. Cheryl writes, this may be too soon or too heavy to discuss, but suggestions for dealing with current events in writing. For example, my setting is a fictional pocket in Silicon Valley, so the fire should affect the area, but I'm not sure how to handle it. That is an excellent question. I was actually thinking about this, but I was thinking about it in terms of COVID. The exact same thing, and I realized that I have not watched every single television program from the early 2000s, but from what I saw, they didn't change New York very much. Maybe some... I was thinking of somebody helping people out of the rubble, and I realize in hindsight I'm thinking of a Spider-Man comic, not an actual TV show. But the shows I was watching did not actively deal with the attacks on 9/11. And I remember there was an episode of Friends around that time where they put, like, after the credits, put a, you know, memorial thing acknowledging the attacks on New York, but not really. And you know, after that, the skyline you see in Friends doesn't have the Twin Towers, but actively talking about it, not people don't really do it. I think they just move on. It's unless you're writing a story about that. Like, I don't know how many people are writing stuff, except for Ben Winters, which I just talked about the pandemic itself. I hope they do, and I hope they realize that the uniform for the pandemic is yoga pants and not leather. But I don't know how many people are just going to see this as sort of a blip. It's really interesting, and yet you don't see it done a lot when people take current events into their, like anything they write historically or present day. I've been kind of disappointed that no one's, well, at least no one's ever commented on it. In Shambling Guides, I mentioned there was a court of ravens that lives in a vacant lot. And, no, I don't know if it was the ravens or not. I cannot remember anything today. Anyway, I referenced the great, like, maple syrup flood in early, now I can't remember any of the details, but I did mention, like, hundreds of people were killed in this maple syrup flood. I'm looking it up right now just to make sure I'm not completely wrong in what it was. Great Molasses Flood. Boston Molasses Disaster. Yeah, death toll was 101 years ago, January 15th, 1919. 2.3 million gallons of maple syrup rushed through the streets, killing 21 and injuring 150. Didn't kill hundreds. But, I referenced that, but no one's ever caught it or commented on it. But it's, I think referencing it is really, really cements it in that time period. Teresa Nielsen Hayden was doing a read-through of Sandman on Tor.com. This was years and years ago. I don't know if she ever finished it. But she was commenting on, pointing out all the little historical accuracies that Gaiman put in the Sandman as we're looking at the history of the world through the Sandman's eyes or through Death's eyes or whatever. And little detail, I mean, like, not at this point, this was a great Boston molasses disaster, but no, just like he had an aunt killed in Boston by a really weird, weird way kind of thing. And it's one of those things where if people don't know or don't care, it'll slip right by. And if they do know or do care enough to look it up, they'll be impressed. Whirling Nerdish. I watched a horror movie on Shudder called Host. A group of friends held a seance over Zoom. It wasn't about the pandemic, but it felt very much of the time. It was a really interesting thing seeing a movie set in our current era, masks, elbow bumps instead of handshakes, without being about the pandemic. That is interesting. So that is Host on, a horror movie on Shudder called Host. Okay. And that director was interviewed on NPR last night, according to Civil Rose, so... there are other things coming out now that look like they were created for to address the pandemic, but I think they're also being created because people want to create things during the pandemic and they can't. So they're making more, movies or shows or something about, going back to the guild style of just talking to a camera like I'm doing right now. So I don't know. It's like, I think you can get away with not doing it. If someone called you on it, or like a first reader called you on it, you could always say that, oh, they rebuilt after 2020 kind of thing. The new campus had this. But I don't think you should worry about it too much, because lots of people have gone either acknowledging it or completely ignoring the current event things. Like, you could have somebody, if you gave me a story about somebody shopping in Boston, in the North End, on January 15th, 1919, having a lovely day, and eating at a cafe and going home, I mean, I don't even know if that's a if that's an area with stores and cafes, much less remember that January 15, 1919, they would not have been walking down that road because it was full of molasses. So it's, I wouldn't worry about it too much, but it is a really good question to decide how you want to address things. I mean, you can have people go to New York, or have people go to New York and talk about post-New York things. You can have a lot of people talk about New Orleans rebuilding after Katrina if they set things in New Orleans. But I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud here. I need to see that. I heard great things about it, says Devo Spice. And Whirling Nerdist, I've just been setting things in 2019 for now. Oh yeah, I just went a couple of decades into the future. And actually have been wondering, should I mention 2020, anything from 2020? And I don't think I did, but it's tempting now when I go to edits. Anyway, does anybody have any other questions? I really, really appreciate y'all for coming out and listening to me complain about this, because I was really in a bad mood and needed to work through that whole self-loathing, permission-seeking thing. It has helped me just talking to you guys and interacting with the chat. And those of you who have stuck around because if someone left because I'm a downer, I don't blame them at all. But those of you who have stuck around, I very much appreciate it. I think that's enough for me. If anybody has any questions I didn't get to, or you didn't get to the chat, then go ahead and email me, mightymer@gmail.com, and I'll be delighted to talk about it in Thursday's episode. If you are sad you missed the stream, it is every Tuesday and Thursday at 12:30 Eastern Time. I may be a little bit late, because I'm still new to this Twitch thing, but I'm trying to stick with the schedule as best I can. I do just a general AMA on Mondays, where I'll talk about pretty much anything. And then I do gaming Thursday nights and Sunday afternoons. So that's where that's where to find me on Twitch, or when to find me on Twitch. And that's twitch.tv/mightymer. Website is merverse.com. What else am I forgetting? Twitter is twitter.com/mightymer. And that's probably enough. I have co-edited the Escape Pod 15th anniversary anthology that's coming out in next month. So almost a little bit over a month, October 20th. And yeah, I'm excited about that. That was a really fun project. So if you do like anthologies, check that out. There's also a Six Wake story in there. I've heard it's tacky for editors to put their own stories in the anthology, but the publisher asked for it. He specifically said he wanted something from me in there. So I obviously had no hand in editing it. SB Divya did all the editing on that one. But yeah, a short story from me in the Six Wakes universe, and lots of other amazing stories. So that is the Escape Pod anthology. But for everything else, again, thank you all for watching. Thank you for being there on the stream, on the podcast, listening to the podcast. And yeah, if you want to support the Patreon, it's patreon.com/mightymer as well. And I am done shilling. Yes, a six-week short story. Okay, Cunning. It is, I intend to write another book. Don't know where it'll be out, because this will be writing on spec. But this short story is intended to be a bridging story. Actually, I was inspired by a producer who was a big fan of the book, and we did a call to see if they wanted to make an offer on the option. And unfortunately, the production company above him said no. But he and I really enjoyed talking about stuff, and he said one thing that he would have wanted to change is the fact that, no spoilers, except the actual criminal in Six Wakes does not get a comeuppance. It's very much like It's a Wonderful Life, where, you know, nothing bad happens to Potter, and he did a lot of terrible things. He mentioned he wanted to see something like that, and I thought, you know, you're absolutely right. And so this is sort of bringing that up. It takes place on the fantastically expensive space station that has all the first clones who are bored of humanity and incredibly wealthy and just live up there on their own space station. But bored, wealthy clones can come up with some pretty terrible ideas. So that is where it's going. That's exciting. A 6-week short. Yes. Yes. Also, there's a short in Way of the Laser. Does not have any of your favorite characters, but it is, it addresses a, I think I called it a traditional English Christmas or classic English Christmas. I can't remember what I settled on, but it's about a, it's a typical, it's clearly Agatha Christie pastiche where, or honoring or whatever. A young man goes home with his girlfriend over Christmas and there's a fight about the will because Grandma shows up and she's been cloned and no one else knew this was going to happen, and the part of the family's deeply Catholic, and everybody's really angry, and Grandma dies. But it's not illegal to kill a clone. The worst it is, you know, inconvenience, and maybe if they can make you pay for the new clone. But it's not illegal to kill a clone. So there's a story on how they're dealing with the fact, is there a murderer in the house? They don't even know. Legally, probably not. Morally, and will they strike again? Definitely. So that was a lot of fun to write. That's in the Way of the Laser anthology, which is out right now. So I really have been shilling a lot. I apologize. But thank you guys so much for sticking with me, keeping me company, and keeping me podcasting. And I will see you on Thursday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Take care, and you should be writing.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should